Princess Street. It runs like a ribbon down the scalp of downtown. Occasionally and necessarily, it gets ripped to shreds so the city can update her infrastructure. We call this the Big Dig. Sidewalks in front of stores are torn up, with gangplanks your only form of ingress and egress into the shops you love. Dust is everywhere. Every day around 1 p.m., the bakeries are forced to throw out their displayed delicacies, and clothing stores try to make light of the need to do a noontime stock shakeout. Instead of sidewalks, there's an intricate maze you have to travel, and it changes every day. To cross Princess Street on foot requires a tacking maneuver, and if you go in the wrong direction and encounter a construction crew at work, you're forced to backtrack whole blocks, causing missed yoga classes, late employees, and aborted shopping trips many times a day. Businesses close down, and storefronts remain empty with no new entrepreneurs willing to start up in our downtown. I don't know if this upheaval is why she does it. It's high summer. My friend is stenciling red and black letters onto white corrugated plastic. We're both a little tipsy on county wine. So, I ask her, what's the plan here? Oh, she replies, this is situationism. I have no plan. The plan is to start walking and install when the feeling is right. What do you mean when the feeling is right, I ask. Not the feeling, that's not it. The scene, when the scene is right. No more questions, let's just start walking. I should explain the theory behind her intervention. The Situationists were active in Paris in the 50s and 60s, and they considered themselves revolutionary intellectuals. They were critics of advanced capitalism and used the city as their stage for disruption and rebellion. The psychogeography of the city, they said, was fundamentally alienating. They carried out a series of happenings that were intended to unite city dwellers through art, so they could have a new understanding of the place in which they lived. With my situationist, anti-capitalist friend, the Big Dig, at 3 o'clock in the morning, becomes a ghostly proposition. Princess Street is a long snake with its entrails exposed. The walkways covered in rubber feel like skin peeled back and pinned. We crisscross and look and wait and watch. We stand in front of a backhoe and look through the metal fencing. The moon is perfectly framed by the arm of a machine, as if the backhoe were cradling a football or an egg. She takes out the card with the word fly and her zip ties, and beneath the scene, like a caption on a painting, bottom right, as straight as possible, she ties the word to the fence. Around we go. Love is placed near McMahon's flower shop and magic near Minotaur, and finally we get to the deepest pit. In the moonlight, small pipes shine their unnatural teal color, and through the largest concrete pipe, a small stream spills over into the bottom of the hole, forming a silver pond that reflects the streetlight and the moon. I ask my friend if I can place a word. Of course, she says, and I choose cry. It was one of the only words left. With deference, I attach it to the fence. After fixing the word, I step back to acknowledge the rightness of its placement, the scene, the moment, our being there at 4 a.m. I look at my friend, and she's looking at me. Her eyes are shining. The next day, I return to the scene to take a picture of my offering, and I stand for some time near the various words we'd installed the night before. Most people pass them without noticing, but some people stop and wonder aloud to their companions, what does that mean? Is it art? How can that be art? Did someone get paid to do this? Their movements through the city are halted. Their purchases postponed. Their insertion into the usual modes of production in our downtown economy stayed. We had changed their situation, and I suddenly saw the importance of this form of artistic rebellion. There was a unity here that hadn't shone through before. Best of all for me, people were talking about art.